everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I am your host, Jay Williams, and joining me today is Jeff Clossy.
Hey, Jay. Good to see you, man.
It is good to see you. It's good to see you.
It's a kind of a dreary morning, though.
It's a very dreary morning. You know what else is dreary?
What?
We have to deal with some office drama.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So we have an infestation in our office of flies.
I saw that.
Yeah. And I said, oh, we have fruit flies. And do you know what someone who, I don't want to say, her name begins with L and ends with Esley.
I think you might have said that.
And she said, those aren't fruit flies. They're fungus flies.
Ooh. Is that better?
That's better. I don't know what planet those are better in. And she said it comes from the soil that Jeff brought in. Not you, Jeff.
Oh, another Jeff.
Which I won't mention his last name then. But and I said, why do we have dirt? She said the dirt that he brought in. I said, why do we have dirt in our office? And she's like, for the plants. So this raised a question in my mind of why do we have plants? If the plants bring dirt and the dirt bring fungus flies, not just flies, but fungus flies, which I can't imagine. I guess dung beetle would be worse. That's a worse name for
insects. Yeah, some kind of infestation of stinging insects or something. But
yeah, but I mean the name, just fungus flies, just sounds terrible. Does not sound like a very inviting environment at all.
So, I don't think I've even heard that name before.
Well, she probably made it up. That's why I'm saying it in the podcast, because I want to know if these things are real. But they are, they're little things. And they're not, you know, I say infestation. It's not like the plagues. But it's enough that I like have had to swat away a couple times. And so it's a big question. I'm just curious, like, are you pro real plants? Are you pro bringing the outside in our office?
I have a real plant in my office, but I have no flies. So it must have been, I haven't noticed any, but it was given to me. So the soil came with it. So maybe that soil was, I need to maybe keep my door shut more often. I don't want those flies in my
soil. They'll probably get in the soil or the dirt.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, right.
So I enjoy having one in my office. The only problem that I have is watering it. But it's a more of a cactus type plant, so it's done well with that problem. So it sounds like you are more like, well, you would prefer plastic.
Okay, so here's the thing. I would not prefer plastic. That sounds so terrible. I guess I would just say I'm just a non-plant guy in the office. Like, I don't want artificial ones. I don't like real ones. It's not that I don't like the real plants. I just feel like it feels a little bit like having a Christmas tree in your house. And like, if you ever step back and think, this is weird. I have a giant pine tree in my living room. That's not normal. That's kind of how I feel whenever I see plants in a house.
So maybe we need people to suggest alternatives for this office space.
Well, there's lots of alternatives. You could have art.
Uh-huh.
You could have art.
Any other living
furniture?
Things?
We could have an office dog.
I would love to have an office dog.
I'd rather have an office dog than office plants. Or an office gerbil. Like we have like a little office hamster.
Yeah. I think if there's any good ideas out there, send them to Jay.
Okay. There you go. You can also send me ideas about the sermon, you know, about the... So this week we talked about really God's family on mission, but I kind of focused in on family. And you didn't listen to the sermon on Sunday. You checked out.
I just totally tuned it out. No, people know that's not true. I was teaching. I got to teach the 5th and 6th grade Faith Kids class, and it was awesome. I had a blast in there. There were three helpers with me, too, other adults, and we just had a great time with the kids teaching. So I got to listen to the sermon, though. It was just after the fact.
So full disclosure, when you listen, do you listen on regular speed or do you increase the speed?
It was increased, but only slightly. I should see what it was. I think 1.2 is what I had it on. So that's still pretty normal rate.
I think I'm hard to handle at too fast. I've been grading assignments like for seminary, the teaching the Bible class. And so I've been listening to sermons, and some people I can go on 2 times.
Wow. Just the rate of speech.
Just because of the speed. Yeah, yeah. Their pace. And I'm used to doing that. My video production days, you'd have to scrub through interviews pretty quick. So I'm used to listening at things at double speed. I can listen to you on double speed. If it had a 2.5 time speed with you, I could do it. Because you are so like deliberate in your, you have such a calming presence, and I like to like speed you up so that I imagine what does hyped up Jeff look like.
The thing I miss though when I listen to you is I can't see you moving around.
Yeah, you can't see my arm.
I didn't have
can
the
you
video.
Imagine them?
I can. Can oh yeah, I can tell when it's happening.
Yeah.
It was a great sermon. I was really encouraged by it.
You don't have to say that.
No, I was. I mean it. I think that this is a topic that, especially this last year for me, this is my third year now here. I have been experiencing it more and more, and God has been surprising me with it more and more. Like I think sometimes as pastors, we have an interesting perspective because we get to have like windows into a lot of the different things God is doing. And it's been really cool to see how God has grown us as a church through this season.
Yeah, and I'm curious from your past experience, because sometimes I can get up there and I can say something and people can go, well, that's just your experience, and they don't know what other experience I've had really, and seeing this play out in others. But in your experience of doing campus ministry for a dozen years or whatever, did you see that idea of like culture and identity and culture? Did you see the pitfalls of leading out with, you know, methods that are trying to chase a specific result and not taking the time to cultivate identity and culture?
Yeah, it definitely. And, you know, I was involved with the Navigators, and thankfully the season that I was involved, there was quite a shift, but the Navigators historically had a pretty performance driven, you know, method. And that was what it was all about. And through people like Jerry Bridges and others, by God's grace, that ship has really turned in a different direction. And, you know, the phrase that I remember hearing a lot and what we would say to our students is, you are a human being before you're a human doing. Like, you are always who you are. It will be reflected in how you live. And obviously we see that in the scriptures as well. I love how then when you take that idea, though, if that's true for me as just one man, it's going to be true as well for us when we band together and we're part of a family together. And that to me was one of my main takeaways from the sermon this Sunday, was this need to continue to be reminded and to live in who we are. And as we do that, the mission of God that He's given us, I think, will continue to take new creative shapes, because it won't be confined to a box of this is what that looks like. So I think in a lot of ways, the doing flowing out of being frees us, and that a lot more things count, if you want to put that in quotes, for the mission when you're doing it that way.
Yeah. So, okay. First of all, we cannot gloss over the kitschiness of you're a human being before you're not a human doing, but it's so true.
Like, it is. That's, you won't ever forget it once you hear it.
It's so corny and yet so true. I love those are like my favorite statements that are just like where you roll your eyes and then you go, oh, that's amazingly true. So yeah, I mean that's something you have to buy into, if that cultivating a culture of who we are in Christ will produce fruit. And we all look at like, we want our lives to be impactful. We want them to be meaningful. Many of us, like, you know, if you're following Jesus, you want to be used for the kingdom. But there's just this question of like, well, how does that happen? And I think we just tend to look at the results of other things, and then we try to mimic that, or we try to find the method that will allow us to produce that. And I've mentioned before how when I was in a mega church, that people would come to the conferences and they would basically just take pictures of everything, like of how the office is laid out, like the staff positions. And they see the results of all this. They want that. And so they just think, well, if I do those things, and the bottom line is like, that's never going to produce healthy fruit. And that's not how Jesus talks about it. You think about the parable of the sower and the seeds. the whole point is like the culture that's being cultivated. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. But the beginning thing is just the identity of just who you are. Like, what are you even trying? Who are you and what are you trying to become? Like, that's the critical thing. And that's what we try to drive at. And so it's not about whether you do certain programs or certain ministries. It's about who are we becoming, and who does the Bible say we are? And, you know, who does God say we are through his word? And then are we becoming that, you know, both, you know, like I said on Sunday, we are already that because of the work of Jesus, and we are becoming it through the transformational work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you talked about some ditches that go with that idea too, which I thought was really helpful. Like the ditches of what family could look like.
Mm, yeah.
And it just made me think that sometimes our expectation, like that we have in our head, not necessarily from the Bible, of what that is, becomes an obstacle to experiencing what actually is. Because it's never going to it's never going to be perfect. It's always going to be a learning process, because we are all growing and in process. And I think, I don't know if it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he has a famous book called Life Together, where he kind of casts a vision for doing life and following Jesus. And one of his points in there is that the enemy of doing that is just this ideal of what it has to be, and we never quite feel it fully. But I think if you start with identity, like you were talking on Sunday, and who you are first, then all the particulars of how that gets lived out, they don't just take care of themselves. They're not always automatic. They take decision-making and planning, but I think they will feel more natural for people. It's a way of relating.
Right.
Too.
Well, and you said, I mean, this idea of family, I think one of the things that strikes me when you talk about those ditches is that what we want family to look like on a daily basis is not what we actually deeply want it to be. And then the reason I would say that is most people, if you ask somebody, hey, describe a time where you really felt this church as family, they're probably, most times, they're going to point back to a hard season of their life when the church supported them, when the church helped them financially, emotionally, spiritually, through the loss of a loved one, or through a difficult, painful circumstance, or whatever the case is. That's what they're pointing back to, or how the church failed them in those situations. But on a daily basis, when we talk about it just in regular rhythms, we tend to want it to look like, you know, somebody to go do things with, somebody to go fishing with, somebody to talk about football with, somebody to, you know, go, like, people that I can hang out with and just have fun. And then there's a dissonance there. Like, at the end of it, what matters about the family of God is that we are there for each other in real ways. But what we always try to pursue are these very surface, like, entertainment, consumeristic definitions. And so, you know, I think about that when it comes to multi-generational type ministry. We say this all the time, that it's can be difficult to connect across generations. But when you need, like, when you're in crisis, those multiple generations are really valuable. Like, to have spiritual grandparents in your life, or for spiritual grandparents to have spiritual grandchildren in their life, to be in the nursing home and being visited by, you know, the young family that you invested in, you know, and their kids, like, that, all that stuff, that's when it matters, not like how easy it is to connect on a random Thursday evening, or, you know, to have the similar interests.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, you mentioned the convenience thing, and
yeah,
you know, all of us, I think with Acts still so fresh in our mind from this whole year, it is just so evident that convenience, and even I would say like amusement,
mm-hmm,
they might end up being icing on the cake occasionally, where we feel like, oh, this is really easy and this is really fun, but they are not the goal. Again, that's like getting the what could happen from it mixed up with what the purpose is in our identity.
And the amusement happens out of that.
Yes.
Again, like, if you are, so if you think about I have a great relationship with my grandmother. My grandmother, we share none of the same interests other than we both love Jesus. But I could just sit and hear stories and talk to her and everything, but she doesn't know anything about sports. She doesn't know anything. Like she's at an age now, she's 96, and she, so we're not talking about, I don't know, like travel plans in Wisconsin, or I don't know. Like our connection is very different, but that comes from a history of being in one another's lives and loving one another. And so it is a joy to, it's not a weird burden to go visit her. It's a joy to visit her.
Or like some obligation that we just have to do.
Right.
It's not like that.
No.
With family.
No, it can be, but we would agree and most people would agree, like, well, that's not the best picture of family.
Yeah,
like,
broken.
That's not what we want, right?
Yes.
When family is functioning in a healthy way, you have the multi-generational effect. You have like the understanding of what matters is that we're together. It's not what we're doing. And so we have to tell that to kids sometimes when, I remember my boys were little and they wanted to play, they wanted my dad to play tackle football with them, and having to say like, hey, that's not like, you want to spend time with your grandfather. It's not going to be through, playing tackle football. That's not the stage of life he's in anymore. But you're convincing them that it's better to spend this time with him than it is to do the thing you want to do. And I think often in the church, when things are going well for us personally, or like any kind of semblance of normal, then we get more focused on what we want to do than who we want to be with. But when you're in times of crisis, or when those moments hit where you really desperately need the family, it is about who is there for you, not about what they're doing. If that makes sense.
About what really matters in that moment.
Right. Yeah, nobody who gets the meal train, like when someone's where they need the meal, like meals brought to them and the church responds, I have yet to have anybody say, the chicken was a little overdone. Like, a couple of the meals were good. A couple of them were like, meh. They don't talk about the meals. They don't talk about the actual food. Now, sometimes they get like a meal that was like their favorite ever, and they'll mention that. But what they talk about is that people cared and brought food and took time to do that, and how loved they felt. So it was the who, it was the act of service from the people that mattered. But on a daily basis, when everything's functioning well and you say go over to someone's house for dinner, well, what do you do? Then you're like critiquing, well, how easily did the conversation flow? Like, was the food good? Was that, like, especially if you got to dinner with, to a restaurant, like we become, the more comfortable we are, the more consumeristic we become, and the more we focus on the things that don't actually matter in the long term. And I think if we keep reminding ourselves that, okay, no, who we are is God's family, bought by the blood of Christ, brought together, reconciled to God and to one another, and then sent on his mission together, then if we keep reminding ourselves of that identity, then what will flow out of that it'll make a lot more sense. Like it just seeing it that way will actually help us understand a lot better than 12 more sermons. For example, which we talked about before the podcast, but if you see the elderly person in the nursing home as a person who used to come to the same service as you, then it's very confusing to know, like, well, should I reach out? Should I not? Should I, is there somebody that's going and visiting? Like, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to, I don't know. I'm sure they're fine. But if you see that person as a grandmother or a grandfather, well, then it becomes very obvious what you should do and what you would do. And I think, so much of it is just that. It's the same thing, like, when we talk about helping with kids and in kids ministry, that if you see them as just random children that go to an organization that you're also a part of, then it's very confusing what your role is in that, and do I feel called to do that? I mean, that would be like, when you look at a kindergarten teacher, not all of us are called to be kindergarten teachers, and those are like random kids from the community. You're like, okay. That's very different than when you see them as your nieces and nephews. And so this is part of my family. And so then it becomes much more obvious. Like, well, of course. Like, why would I not want to jump in and help and connect with them and then connect with their families?
Yeah, that, as you were describing those examples, kind of what seems to come from our heart when we are abiding in Christ and experiencing Him and remembering who we are as a family is this desire to love and to share, like, real practical love with other people around us. It's like we feel a level of responsibility, I guess, or ownership. I don't know the word, but and the way that flows out is really practical acts of love and delighting in that person, taking their interests as your own interests and putting them before your own convenience. You know, I love that you said that about the kids too, because on Sunday, the three other adults who were in there with me, as we talked about the class and prayed for the kids before class started, as we were preparing, it was so evident to me that those other adults also just love these kids as family. They're back there because of that reason. Like, the four of us back there in the fifth and sixth grade class didn't hear the message. We didn't hear the sermon while you were giving it, but we were experiencing it. Mm. And the kids were experiencing it as we interacted and did life together in that moment. And it was such a delight. But yeah, you're right. It's not just like, okay, now our appointed job for that hour is to go do this thing, and then now we're done, and we go get on with our lives. Like, these are real relationships we have, and those kids matter. They're part of our family.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, that's the design and the desire. And I think the question then that has come up and came up even in response to the sermon is, okay, I hear that, and I even agree. Like, they might say, yes, when I think back to when would I say the church has been family to me? When have I really felt that? That it's probably in moments of service and moments of being served and serving others, and not in the trivial things that on a day-to-day basis we often think of, like, that would mean like community. But then the question of, like, well, how do I know that I'm actually participating in that actively? So if I can look at it in the past and say, well, that's what it meant, like, how do I know? Because on a daily basis, that's not what we're doing. Like, as we interact, like, you're not in crisis every day.
No.
So we still function as family in that. And the question of, like, well, then how do I know I'm doing it right? So what are your thoughts on that? What did you say to somebody who says, like, how do I know if I'm doing this?
Yeah, well, part of me would say a really important part in this is how each one of us is called to seek the kingdom, to seek what is God doing? What is He doing in my life? And what is He doing in my neighbor's life and my coworker's life and in my friend's life? And then, of course, it should go without saying, based on everything else we've said, what is He doing in the family that God has put me in here, this church family? And so I think as we're praying that and seeking that and asking God, help me to do that with this family, help me to live out this family of God on mission, God will help us do that. And for me, a lot of what I've observed the last 6 months especially is that it often looks like a need becomes very apparent to someone in our church family. So take like the homeless shelter as an example. So a need there becomes just very apparent to someone, and it's weighing on their heart. And they begin to go serve in that need. And as they do that, they invite other people who are part of their family with them. So both their biological family and their church family with them. And it's beautiful to watch coming together and relating together around something that is so important and needed in the community. To me, that's one way, one thing that looks like. It's not something they signed up for,
right?
Or, you know, that they made some agreement with each other. They just did it together and they invited other people into it with them. How would you add to that?
Well, no, so this is where I think it is. It's so simple that we tend to overcomplicate things. We all do. And especially in the Western culture where we turn everything into like a 12 lesson study and all this stuff. But there is a simplicity, a beautiful simplicity to it. We know that's true because how quickly the church in Acts nailed it. right? Like you think about immediately after Pentecost, they were meeting together. There was no orientation that we know of. There was no, like Peter didn't then get up and say, okay, well now we're going to organize into groups. You guys are going to meet together. You need to meet together at least once a week. And in that time, we're going to encourage you, like you need to share a meal or whatever. They did it naturally because of how they saw one another. And it just made sense. So much like, you know, what I was saying about the going to the nursing home makes sense when you see that person who, you know, used to come to worship services every week and was a part of the church family, but now they're physically unable to come. Seeing them as a grandmother all of a sudden fills in a lot of those blanks and you just naturally would go do it. But then when you said that about the homeless shelter, that's what I was thinking too. If I went and served at the homeless shelter every Thursday, I mean, imagine if I didn't invite my kids or my wife to go with me. Imagine if they were like, well, what are you doing, Dad? I'm going to go to the homeless shelter. Oh, okay. Yep. All right. See you later. That would be so weird. Like, of course I'm going to invite them to go with me. I'm going to say, well, do you want to come? I would love to have you come with me. I might even intentionally want to make it a point and choose an evening that I know we could all go together. So also then with the church family, we should be thinking about that. Because then you are on mission together. It is so powerful to go and serve together. There's just incredible power in that. It's so powerful. That's why I was trying to encourage, even when you're going to like a baseball tournament or a basketball tournament, we have a lot of families who are in that situation. And I know for us, we had a personal experience where we happened to have a team where several of the families, we all go to church together. So there was some intentionality of that, of saying, okay, we're not just here at this basketball tournament. We're at this basketball tournament together as God's family on mission. So we want to be like, actually, I heard a family that went to another tournament, was in another tournament season, and they would just get together before the tournament and pray together just as a means of acknowledgement of who they were in Christ and what they were going. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen at the tournament. They didn't necessarily even have a strategy of, you know, we're going to take waters for everybody or we're going to feed people or whatever. There wasn't necessarily always like this specific strategy. It was how they saw themselves. And it was how they saw the day unfolding. And they recognized to one another and reminded one another that we are God's family on mission. And so whatever the Lord has for us, we're going to handle together. So I think that is such a big piece of it, is just saying, like, what do you see? And so on Sunday morning, when you look around, who do you see? Do you see family? Like, do you see it as like a family reunion? Or do you see random people from the community that happen to attend the same religious service that you do? And what I'm seeing more and more is people are buying into that idea. And then I would say be faithful to what's in front of you. So buying into the idea that when you come to worship, say on Sunday morning, that God is putting you in that place and he is surrounding you with people, that God is orchestrating all of these things. And so when you happen to be sitting in front of or behind a person that you don't know, or that you do know and that you've wondered like how they're doing, or even when you see them at that point, you wonder how they're doing, that's not an accident. And if you think, oh, well, you know, that'd be weird for me to say something, or that would be weird. Every week I'm talking to people, and if you ask them about how the Sunday was, they will talk about other conversations they had with people. It means a lot to people when you go up to them and you say, hey, I just saw you. I haven't talked to you for a while, or, you know, whatever. How can I pray for you? Or how are you doing? You're ministering to people. You're being God's family every bit as much as when you sit around the dinner table with your family, or when you remember doing that, that we ask each other how you're doing and what's going on in your life. At least we should be doing that.
That's such a good reminder that sometimes I think the picture in our head of what ministry looks like may be a pastor in an office meeting with somebody, but that is actually the exception to what ministry looks like. Ministry actually looks like the ordinary conversation you have with someone on Sunday morning, and you tell them how you're really doing, and they tell you how they're really doing, and you talk with each other about that.
Right.
That is ministry. And that's really important and really valuable, not to be discounted. And you can't replicate it.
Right.
You have to, you know, be present. You have to be with other people to do that. And I would say, too, I just wanted to add to the ideas. Like, we threw out a couple, you know, God gives you an idea about a need and you go meet that with other people. But in addition to that, in our church, there are needs that we do make known. So, like, through the Acts ministry, one of the goals with the Acts ministry of serving together is it's relational. It's not just meeting a need. It's right. doing it together in family. So whether that's helping someone move or building someone a ramp, all of that is relational. And I would say the welcomed ministries are like that as well. When people band together to support a family who's in, you know, doing foster care, that is God's family on mission. So there are opportunities. If you're hearing this and thinking, yeah. I'm not sure who I would ask, or there are ways that we do make known for people to do that, in addition to the spontaneous God moving in a person's heart towards some need.
Yeah, so I would say, all right, so let's deal with that for a second, because you mentioned, you know, we're comparing, say, a family dinner to getting together on Sunday morning. I think about how often we view a church service on Sunday morning in the same vein as a family that sits around the TV for dinner.
Hmm.
Where you're watching something and you're near them, but you're not actually connecting with one another. There is some value of physically being in the same space together. Like, that's better than not being in the same space physically, but it's not all that it could be. And if you had a family that said, man, we just don't feel like I'm ever connecting. Like, one of the things I ask is what's your evening routine? And we have all kinds of things going on. My family is very full evenings and everything. So, but trying to figure out a rhythm of this is a time that we really connect with one another. And we take every opportunity we can to sit around the table and eat together. And so I would say that. So I would say that is a first step, is coming on Sunday morning and just practice seeing the people around you as God's family, listening to the Spirit to say, okay, I'm gonna go out of my comfort zone. I'm gonna go over and say hi to this person. I'm just gonna ask them how their week has been. And it may not feel, and this is part of the thing, is it may not feel like a big deal to you, but it is. You're doing the thing. I wish I could share all the stories of people saying how this specific text just so encouraged them, or this person coming up and saying hi to them, or whatever. I try to tell them, hey, you should let them know how encouraging that is, but it's not always my story to share. But it's so powerful. So I think being like just changing the view a little bit and being intentional about that, and then realizing that's the thing. And then trying to respond to the Spirit in any given moment, being faithful in the moment, I think is the thing. And so that's part of what the area lunch is, right? So I know that some people like come to the area lunch and they're expecting it to be a program, and it's not. It's an environment. It's a place where you just say, we're going to have some food and we're going to sit around a table together and we want you to connect. And there have been some really deep, rich, meaningful connections in that. But it only happens through consistency. And I get it. We can get into this idea of like, well, like it's not accomplishing anything, so it's kind of a waste of time. I have other things to do. Well, if I said that about visiting my grandmother, what would you think of me? If I said like, well, I would go visit my grandmother, but I have other things to do. Well, I don't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Like I get there and she doesn't have anything for me. She doesn't like give me anything. We don't have a plan. We don't have an agenda or whatever. Like you'd think I'm the worst grandson ever.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't see the value of just being with her. And so that's a big part of area lunch. So I'd say start with Sunday morning, just seeing the people around you as family and practice that. Be a part of an area lunch. Like just commit to being there consistently and connecting with people. And then I would say, like, that's why we have communication cards. Like, again, we tell people all the time, like, well, what are all the different things you have going on? We're not interested in connecting people to random programs. We're just not.
Nope.
And that's not our philosophy of ministry. Our philosophy of ministry is we are God's family on mission. That's our identity. And so we want to connect you with people. And so if you want to study the Bible, like, first of all, if you want to study the Bible, ask people around you and like, hey, you want to read the Bible with me? That's great. But if you need help in doing that, then talk to us And we will help you get connected with people like that. That's part, that's, I love doing that. And that's, that has a much better return on investment. That is the intentionality of the difference between just chucking seeds out into a soil bed, you know, and like randomly, or actually planting in rows, you know, and actually saying, okay, this is where I'm going to plant my tomato plants. This is where we're going to plant the cucumbers. There is wisdom in that kind of intentionality, but that's what we're trying to do through the communication card. So we want to make it simple in that if you want to experience this, just talk to us. And that's the step. And rather than trying to like overwhelm people with, you know, all the different things that they could possibly do.
It's interesting. I really love that comparison between a family sitting at a table interacting over dinner and a family sitting on a couch watching TV. And it is interesting how Sunday worship can be like one of those two things or a mix of them. And I love one of the blessings, I think, of getting to take communion together has been, at least for my experience as, you know, part of this church family, it has helped me to feel more connected with the people around me. Even if it's like I'm standing, like this last Sunday, standing in line, one of the Sundays I wasn't serving communion, and just getting to interact with a few people and shake some hands, and
yeah,
it was just awesome. I love getting to do that, and it shifts me out of the mode of I've got the remote in my hand and I'm just watching a thing happen, and the goal is to just absorb as much of what I'm watching, but instead I'm participating in it then. Getting up and yeah. Talking and interacting, that's the thing.
That's a whole other thing. I haven't thought in those terms a lot. I have in some ways, but that whole TV dinner, like gather on the TV, is definitely hitting me as a, again, that goes to perception. Just what's the point of this? And we've talked about this before, that for so long the Christian worship service has just been the main point is can I get everything I need to get out of the sermon?
Yep.
And we are going to continue to preach the word of God and proclaim the good news and be faithful in teaching and instructing out of God's word. I don't want to diminish that at all. What I want to do is elevate the other elements of the service that are so powerful. And remember that the people of God gathering together as his family, worshiping him together. I was just talking to somebody again recently of them saying how it has ministered to their soul to hear the church family singing on days where they could not bring themselves to sing. So imagine somebody that's so racked with guilt or pain or depression or grief that they can't bring themselves to sing the songs, but them hearing you sing the song behind them and next to them and around them ministers to their soul in a way that you won't ever know. And it's not based on how good your singing voice is. It's based on the family singing together. That's a way that we minister to one another. Obviously, you mentioned communion. I had a conversation this weekend with somebody who, they wanted to bake, and like a lot of us, they're just not eating baked stuff. Like a lot of us are kind of turned away. And then at Christmas time, you're like, oh man. And if you have a history of baking things, then like that can be a sad thing. If you're like, man, I don't even know who will eat these things anymore. Like nobody eats gluten, nobody eats sugar, nobody eats like whatever. And so they just decided, you know what, I'm going to bake these things and then I'm going to deliver them to my neighbors. And they ended up going and sitting with several older widows and just sitting with them, delivering baked goods, talking with them, praying with them. And what was crazy about it was she was kind of like, I mean, yeah, so I did that. And I'm thinking, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
And then if you start to do that and then invite somebody else along, like I could encourage this person to invite, you know, a younger woman, you know, to go with her, and she'd probably oh, they wouldn't want to do that, or they don't have time to do that. Like, yes, they do, and yes, they would. And if they don't, then they're missing out. But if they do, then that's the family being on mission. That, you know, it's not, it doesn't have to be, you know, we have people that, like I said, go to the nursing homes and they just take somebody with them. They don't, it doesn't have to be some formal organized thing. We just, if, and this kind of goes back to what you said earlier, Jeff, that it kind of expands what ministry could look like, because then it's not dependent on the pastor to come up with all the ideas of what we should do. Like, we definitely as elders have community-wide things that we're keeping an eye on and ways that we want to intentionally share the gospel in the community and be light in the midst of, like, we definitely are doing that. But man, some of the most incredible ministry that's happened over the 7 years has been things like that. Like someone baking cookies and going around and sharing them with people and sitting with people who are lonely and people who are going to the homeless shelter and just taking somebody with them. People who are connecting on Sunday morning and then just reading the Bible together and learning how to follow Jesus together. Like, that's people that are volunteering to be on school boards and committees and things like that in their community and sharing, being light and salt in the midst of that and doing it together. Like, that's the thing. And we have to make sure that we're reorienting ourselves to saying, like, that's like, how weird would it be if I just said, yeah, I just feel like I'm not being a very good dad, and then talk about all the ways that I've, like, served my kids or taken them, you know, to go camping or do whatever, but because I haven't, like, done, you know, because we don't do a regular family dinner every night, or we don't have some form, whatever my measurement is, you know, I didn't coach their team, or I didn't do this thing, and I saw this on Facebook, this family was doing this, and we didn't take the big trip to Disney, or we didn't whatever, we'd say, holy cow, it's in those small things. Like, you play catch with your kid every day, like, or you do whatever, like, whatever those rhythms are, we would say that's the thing. It's not the big events or the big programs or the big things like that. It's the small things, which we'll talk about that more next week. But I get kind of fired up when I'm thinking about that. And I hear those stories, and it is a consistent thing that people share a story that I'm, like, on the verge of tears listening to. And they're like, yeah, but I haven't been volunteering or doing this other ministry very much. Like, what?
Yeah, our imagination for what it means to live this out just needs to be expanded. And I think we also need to just recognize how God has already been leading us.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one too, the one about the baking of, I think, seeking the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And thinking about what's going on around you and what God is at work doing, and then entering into that. Beautiful.
It's great.
It's awesome.
So we want to encourage you guys in that. Like, I want to encourage anybody's listening to this to say, you know, I think if you, so see the church as family, not as kind of like family, but as family, and be faithful to what God has in front of you. And so if you, you know, like I said, on a Sunday morning, or loving your neighbor, whatever it is, like, just be faithful to that interaction that's right in front of you. And it's through all of that that God weaves together what is a greater testimony. And I've shared before, but when I have the opportunity, I think I said it on Sunday, about when I have the opportunity to share the gospel in some of those areas and the testimony of our church family, like, all those little things add up and they become this really big thing. And that's the family actively being on mission. That is way more valuable than just throwing a big event, you know, where we try to get a bunch of people together for that. I'm not saying that we, you know, never do that, or God doesn't work through those things. That's not my point. But the point is that the most valuable thing is to be God's family, to recognize that, and then to be faithful to what he has in front of you.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
You already did preach it. I was going to say preach it.
Preach it.
But you did.
It's preached. Done. Yeah. It done gotten preached. So if you are sitting there listening and you're thinking, man, I still need more help. Like, I just need to process through. We would love to talk with you about that. And you can also talk to each other about that. Just run through, okay, what are the rhythms of your life? Like, where does it seem like God has placed you? A lot of times people know that. They're like, man, I definitely get a sense that God has placed me in this neighborhood, you know, or he's placed me in this workplace. And I definitely have a sense of that. Then like, let the family help you figure out what does that look like, and then rely on one another so that, you know, how cool is it if you are, for example, called to, you know, in your workplace, you see that and you're sharing the gospel there, or you're trying to invite people to church. Well, let other people in the church be a part of that. Let them know. Let them be praying with you so that when you do bring that coworker, you've got, I mean, think about how awesome that would be to have, you know, 5 or 6 people who have been praying for that coworker. Imagine how excited they're going to be and how intentional they're going to be about, like, welcoming them. So that's all of those things. We would love to help you think through that and brainstorm. So as always, if you need help with that, or if you have any other questions, you can reach out to us through email, phone, or be with us on Sunday morning. And we would love to connect with you. Thank you, as always, for listening. Hopefully it's been helpful. Until next time, grace and peace.